The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30.
So let's get to the last word on sport, and we're going to start with football, and we're going to talk to Gavin Cooney from the 42.ie about Ireland playing against Belgium tomorrow. First game for interim manager John O'Shea, but is it an audition to get in the job on a full-time basis, Gavin?
Hi, Matt. No, if you listen to the FAI, they've been pretty clear about, well, they haven't been clear about much in this manager's search, but they have been pretty clear that John O'Shea is being viewed as an interim candidate only. We're told that they have identified a manager, that that manager will be unveiled in early April, that they can't be unveiled earlier because of their existing contract obligations. And we've been in a curious situation where John O'Shea was presented to the press and was naturally asked, well, John, would you fancy a crack at this job full time? And he said, well, you know, never say never and see what happens. And then the director of football, Mark Cannon, beside him says, well, actually, no, we're effectively looking at John as just an interim candidate for these two games against Belgium tomorrow and then Switzerland next Tuesday.
And what if he wins them both?
It might be hard to dismantle his extensive management team, wouldn't it? I mean, I do wonder privately whether there's some people in the FAI might wonder, maybe let's not be too successful here, John. Also, I don't think, you know, it's a matter for Ireland to expect to win both games. But, you know, they would leave them in a tricky situation, wouldn't it? Because you've got, if they did do well, you know, O'Shea is a very popular figure, has been a quite assured presence in front of the media and all week. And, you know, he's also got this big backroom staff of his number two is Paddy McCarthy, who's a really highly rated coach at the Premier League club Crystal Palace. Glenn Whelan is in there, and of course Brian Kerr is there as well as a technical advisor. A lot of football fans in the country are just delighted to see him back in there, having been frozen out in the early years of John Delaney's reign. So, you know, I do wonder if Ireland score, a result goes well, and as the camera cuts to a beaming Brian Kerr, people might say, God, it's hard to bring this to an end.
It's going to be interesting to see what selection decisions he makes tomorrow, particularly what does he do in goal, given that Stephen Kenny had opted for Gavin Bazunu, who was getting regular first team football at Southampton. But he's now got Caoimhín Kelleher, who is at the moment in goal for one of the top sides in Europe. Can he keep Kelleher out?
I'm not sure he can, Matt, to be honest. I mean, they're two top quality goalkeepers, so it's a good headache for a coach to have, I suppose. But the reason Bazunu was ahead of Kelleher was because he was the only one that was playing regularly. But Kelleher, as you rightly say, has been playing regularly for Liverpool in recent weeks and been outstanding. You know, I mean, rescue results for them, and like played a massive part in winning that cup final at Wembley a few weeks ago. So you'd imagine if both are playing regularly, you have to reward the guy playing at the highest level. And you also, from an Irish point of view, you want to incentivize Kelleher to leave Liverpool and go out and play regularly from next season. So I think under that, if that's the way you're thinking, I think you have to reward him for these last few weeks and the fact that he has been playing week in, week out.
Gavin, you're not suggesting that Caoimhín Kelleher should still leave Liverpool, are you? Because the people who were saying that in January would have flogged him off to Nottingham Forest and a relegation battle, and he would have missed the big day in the Carabao Cup final and playing in these really important league games for Liverpool. And who knows how long more he might be in the first team.
Yeah, it is true, but I mean, he'll only be in the first team for as long as Alisson Becker is injured. For as long as Alisson is at the club, Kelleher will be number two, and Jurgen Klopp has made that clear. And okay, Klopp is leaving at the end of the season, maybe the next coach will see it differently, but Alisson is so good, he's effectively the best in the world, that it's hard to see that. Kelleher is having an amazing career at Liverpool, and you know, he's not playing nearly as often as Bazunu, but wow, like, I mean, what memories he's built up, and like, he's an important part of Liverpool's history at this point. But what I mean, obviously he feels that's best for him, but from an Irish point of view, you want all your players playing regularly, you know, because we've seen Kelleher even in recent weeks look so much better having played every week. Like Klopp has mentioned this, that it's important for goalkeepers to have rhythm and play every week, and yeah, they benefit from that. So from an Irish point of view, we've caught a glimpse of Kelleher, of how good he is playing every week, so why wouldn't you want that year round?
Now, looking at the Irish squad as well, Gavin, it strikes me that we have a lot of top-level defenders, And we have forwards, and that we have the most exciting young striker playing in the Premier League in Evan Ferguson, even if he's not scoring many goals at present. And you've now got the potential of Sammy Smodic, who's scoring goals for fun in the Championship, and Chidozie Ogbeni is going so well for Luton as well. But that the problem for this Irish team is a lack of quality in midfield. Is that the big issue that is going to stop us building a team that can qualify for tournaments?
I think it is, Matt. Yeah, I think Stephen Kenny did a great job in blooding young players and finding guys who are eligible for international transfers. And like you say, there's real options now in depth at goalkeeper, at centre back, full back to an extent, and obviously up front and on the wings. I mean, that's like, we've got the bones of a really good squad there, but the problem is that there's a hole in the squad and it's a crater in the middle of the pitch, and you can't, not to sound too much like John Giles here, but like, you can't get anywhere if your midfield isn't up to scratch. And unfortunately, Ireland are deficient in the most important area of the pitch. Like, there's guys like Josh Cullen, Jason Knight, Will Smallbone have their qualities and have outstanding attitudes, but they lack craft and passing ability to an extent, but they really lack physicality. I mean, like, especially Knight and Cullen, if you put one on top of each other's shoulders, like, they'd still be looking up at some of the guys who'll be playing in midfield for Belgium tomorrow. Like, it's a major issue for Ireland. And ultimately, it was Stephen Kenny's downfall, to be quite honest with you. I know he talked about wanting to change the playing style, but you can only do so much with the midfield that he had at his disposal. And even, you know, the system of playing wing backs and back threes and two guys up top, everything was done almost to kind of negotiate Ireland's problems in the middle of the pitch rather than because of the quality that was in there, and not to be forever lamenting the exit of Declan Rice, but honestly it's probably the most consequential thing to happen to that team.
Can you imagine if we had Declan Rice and could build everything else around it? But
transformative.
Yeah, but Gavin, this is probably going back to before you may even have been born, but Jack Charlton did something really controversial at the time, which horrified many people, but actually proved to be really good solution for the Irish team. Firstly, he moved our own last World contributor, Mark Lawrenson, from being one of the best centre-backs in Europe into the middle of midfield, where he was doing a terrific job until he actually got injured and couldn't go to the Euro 88 championships, and his career effectively was ended. And even on occasions, he pushed Paul McGrath in alongside him before Paul McGrath became a midfielder, before reverting back to centre-back. Could it be with the footballing talent amongst some of our centre-halves that one or two of them might be redeployed into midfield to give that physical presence that we're clearly lacking?
It is a possibility, and it would be intriguing to see it. And that's what friendly games like this one against Belgium tomorrow should be for. It should be for experimenting and seeing if you can come up with solutions. And we should add that another Irish defender who played at centre-back but was often deployed in midfield is one John O'Shea, who did it very often for Alex Ferguson at Manchester United. And he's obviously an interim charge here. So he was asked about this at the press conference and gave a pretty terse answer, actually, and just said, yeah, look, it is possible. So whether he was shutting down any follow-up questions because he didn't want to give the game away, and we might see Nathan Collins or Darrow O'Shea or Andrew Amabamadeli in midfield tomorrow, maybe we'll have to wait and see. It looks, you know, it would probably be unlikely, and it is such a different ask to play in midfield. You almost need to play with wing mirrors on because you'll have players tackling you from all angles, rather than as a defender, you obviously pretty much always have the game in front of you. But it is definitely an option for Ireland, and Ireland have such a lack of creativity in midfield that they're going to have to get creative themselves in tackling it.
Watch about this guy, Sammy Smodic. He's never played above championship level, but does that matter in modern day international football?
Don't know if it matters for Ireland, to be quite honest with you. And he's in red hot form, you know. I mean, this will be a massive step up in level now against Belgium, who are the fourth side in the world. But such is his confidence. Like, you would back him, and he is a very confident guy. The top scorer in the championship with 21 goals in a Blackburn team that's struggling at the wrong end of the table. He's still the top scorer in the FA Cup, even though the Blackburn have been long since knocked out of that competition. And, you know, he's very, obviously very eager to be involved. I think he believes he should definitely be in the starting team. And we may well see it. Just the only difficulty for John O'Shea really is, where do you fit him into the team? Because obviously Smodic said all the right things about being versatile and I'll play wherever the manager wants me to play. But he wants to play as a number 10 in a central position. Ireland under Stephen Kenny, their formation didn't really have that, didn't have a role for him in the team. So it will be interesting to see how O'Shea fits him in. He hasn't promised him a start, but he has promised him minutes. But such is his confidence in goal scoring form that it's tough to leave him out, isn't it?
And then what about then to finish? There was the opposition tomorrow night in Belgium. No Kevin De Bruyne, no Romelu Lukaku, but will it still be a team likely to be so strong that it'll be very difficult for Ireland to beat them?
I think so, yeah. They are missing some headline names, like you say, and they're also missing the Madrid goalkeeper Thibaut Courtois, but they've refreshed. It's a much younger Belgium team now. They've moved on from their golden generation, but you know, they've some top quality players there as well. Yuri Tielemans at Villa, obviously Jeremy Doku at Manchester City, who's been a revelation even in a team that good. You'll also see the likes of Trossard at Arsenal and Openda, the striker at Leipzig, who is absolutely rapid, if a little erratic in front of goal. So it's a big challenge for Ireland. Belgium have to play England in a friendly next Tuesday, so maybe their coach will take us a little bit lightly and rotate. But, you know, we're in the realm of a draw being a pretty good result for us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.